stocks tank because market folks are looking at what the Fed is saying about the economy, not what it's doing to fix it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. U.S. markets are down big time across the board today in response to a global sell-off and a Federal Reserve report that shows the economy is still in pretty bad shape. Some perspective coming up. But first, let's do the numbers. Oh, yeah, the really sad music right now. The NASDAQ and S&P each off about 2.5%. The Dow down nearly 3%, 304 points at 10,820. European shares were down about 4.5% on average, still down, but they're about to end their trading day there. In Asia, shares were much lower as well, 2 to 5%. The market in Hong Kong had its biggest drop in 3 years. Fewer Americans filed for first-time weekly jobless claims last week. The Labor Department said applications shrank by 9,000. Bit of good news there. Now to what the Fed said yesterday when it released that report. It said it would stimulate the economy by changing its investments to try and drive down long-term interest rates in a move it's calling the twist. But the markets aren't paying much attention to that, only what the Fed is responding to in the first place, a lousy economy. The BBC's Andrew Walker is with us from London now with the latest. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there, Steve.
Why the big global reaction to the Fed's decision?
It is slightly curious in some ways because, of course, what the Fed is doing is taking action that's intended to stimulate the rapidly flagging economic recovery. So in some circumstances, the markets might well be expected to take that positively. This time, however, I think partly they're focused on the Fed's negative comments, the warning about significant downside risks. Also, I think there's an awful concern brewing, I think, that maybe they are beginning to run out of effective tools. And so the Fed's action, I think, has just made markets focus on that downside.
Andrew, we already knew that the economy isn't doing very well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You might well say, why on earth did the markets need the Fed to tell them that there are significant downside risks? They should have worked that out already. And I think they did. But we're into this kind of environment, I think, where an awful lot is dependent on sentiment, perhaps more than is usually the case. And so you do sometimes get markets responding in a perhaps rather unexpected way. And I think that's what we've had this time.
What about other central banks, Andrew, around the world? Will they react similarly to the Fed? Will more stimulus be put into the global economy?
I think probably yes. The European Central Bank is a little bit further behind on this kind of issue because it has actually been raising interest rates in the last few months. But the odds, I think, must be increasing very rapidly that the European Central Bank will reverse those moves before very long.
The BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Andrew, thank you.
My pleasure, Steve.
In Washington later today, the Senate is expected to vote to reauthorize a job training program for American workers out of work because of free trade deals. If the House goes along, today's vote could mean approval of trade agreements with Panama, Colombia, and South Korea. Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is live with us now with that story. Morning, John.
Hello, Steve.
How big are these trade agreements we're talking about?
Well, they'll get rid of just about all the tariffs and other trade barriers on exports and imports to and from those countries. Korea is the big one. Mm-hmm. Trade with Panama and Colombia is fairly small. Overall, the three agreements are expected to generate about $2 billion in new U.S. exports a year. But Dan Griswold, an economist with the Cato Institute, says that's relatively modest.
That's not going to put a dent in the overall unemployment rate, but it'll create better jobs and more income for American households.
These trade agreements, John, were first negotiated under the Bush administration. Why has it taken so long to get these through?
Well, the Democrats worry that opening the borders is going to mean unfair competition from foreign labor. So the White House has tied its support for the trade agreements to the restart of this government worker training program called Trade Adjustment Assistance. It's designed to retrain workers who've lost their jobs due to imports. Republicans are skeptical the program is effective, but GOP lawmakers are hearing from their business supporters that the trade agreements are worth the price, so they're likely to go along when the training comes up for a vote today. If these trade deals go through, it means a few baby steps towards the president's overall goal of doubling U.S. exports by the end of next year.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale, live from Washington. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by CSX, transporting 2 billion pounds of goods to market by train and working to help move the economy forward. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
More than 20,000 nurses and healthcare workers are planning to walk off the job today in California, angry over benefit cuts and other concessions hospital groups Kaiser Permanente and Sutter Health are seeking. But Marketplace's Bob Moon reports it's going to be a short strike, and that's by design.
A small group started their picketing yesterday, but most of the workers joining them today will be striking for only a single day. That's enough to make some noise. But can a limited strike be as effective as an open-ended walkout? National Union of Healthcare Workers Vice President John Bortzos spoke to us from the picket line.
It's like a shot across the bow to the employer. The idea is to try to get the employer to bargain in good faith and to do it in a way that's least disruptive to patient care.
Bortzos says this strategy has produced results in the past.
There's other healthcare providers that have been willing to agree to contracts short of full-blown strikes.
That's what the Health Workers Union and the California Nurses Association are hoping for in this case. But Sutter Health says it has an obligation to keep health care affordable. And Kaiser issued a statement calling the strike unnecessary. It says it's already bargaining in good faith. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And finally, a late-night hotspot in Manhattan's East Village has hired a bouncer to work the overnight shift. It's at IHOP, the International House of Pancakes, to keep bar-hopping customers, diners, who enjoyed too many cocktails under control. You know it's a tough job at the bar. Imagine rowdy drunks who are hungry. I just hope the guy's paid with more than just flapjacks. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM. That's American Public Media.
Financial news changes by the very minute. Domestic and global markets are crazy.
China's not about to move away from buying U.S. treasuries.
The European Central Bank wading into the Spanish and Italian government bond market today.
The whole debt ceiling debate made us look dysfunctional. We all know that.
That's okay, though, because we're here. Marketplace. It's the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.